Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson. This is the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. We're so glad that you're joining us. Let me introduce you to who's in the room today.
It's Michael Erdman.
Angie Preston.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
It's great to be together today. We actually just got back from a wonderful little conference down in the Denver area. And so I don't know about the rest of the team, but I'm feeling quite inspired. I'm excited for what's to come here at the Rock Church. But right now we are wrapping up this series titled Faith, which is actually a part two of our total series in Hebrews. And so this has been a really great series as a whole. I feel like I know Hebrews in a whole new way. I feel like I know Jesus in a whole new way.
Right.
So many aspects that we covered over the past seven-ish weeks where we've gotten to dig into this. So this last one on Sunday, Pastor Tyson preached for the last time as senior pastor here at the Rock Church. And it was a powerful sermon. I was extremely moved by it. So here's where we're at. We're in Hebrews 13, and we're talking about really this relational faith. And I'll read the key verse, and then what I want to start with you all is what stood out to you on Sunday from that message. But here's Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So let's recap on Sunday. What stood out to you guys? I'd love to know what's really stuck with you from Sunday morning.
I loved how Pastor Tyson brought in, you were saying this earlier, Shane, but the relational aspects of how other people's faith has impacted his life. And it drew me instantly back to specifically one man that I know I wouldn't be where I am without his influence of showing me what true faith looks like. It's the whole faith with works. He was the personification of Jesus to me in my darkest time. Without that, I guarantee you I would still be where I was before. And it is so powerful. Let brotherly love continue. Go out and be Jesus to the lost. Mm-hmm. Go show them what this is. I used to be the guy that would just say, read the Bible. It'll tell you everything you need to know. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible is pointless to you. You don't understand it, but you understand relationship.
Yeah. Well, and you get to see the display. What I love about what you just said is somebody displayed Jesus to you in flesh and blood. Like they acted and spoke and responded to you in such a way that it has forever marked you and it reconnected you with our Savior. I mean, that's powerful.
Well, and for me, in addition to that, it's not just about someone personifying Jesus to you. I think our understanding of the word comes alive so much more when we can experience it in our own lives, when we can move it from sort of the intellectual to like the physical and the experiential. And so that was impactful for me in one, thinking about the people in my life who have personified the word for me. But then also, like, especially when we were talking to our youth, getting to process through the emotions of never having that example in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful. Mm-hmm.
And again, I know we talked about that in the last couple podcasts, but, unfortunately we do not have enough in whether it be our parents or other people in our lives of good displays of Jesus.
Well, and I think to piggyback on what you're saying, Jacob, is the moving through our faith, people telling me and showing me their faith in their life may help me in my faith in my life. I may struggle with faith in finances and I find somebody that goes, yeah, I'm just going to, I just give it away and God keeps showing up and he keeps showing up and you're like, oh, maybe I can trust him in this. Or I have struggle with faith in any other aspect and you meet somebody who has walked through that and their testimony impacts me and goes, oh, well, yeah, that maybe I can trust him in that. Mm. And it just continues that growth and that faith and that brotherly love that continues to keep us going. Mm-hmm.
Angie, go ahead.
I loved hearing all of Tyson's personal examples. Because I have relationship with most of those individuals, it it made me and all of the experiences that I have with them just, it solidified them. And it, hearing from Tyson, he's been here for so long, and understanding the depth and the,
like, his example,
yeah, the significance, yeah, that they, those individuals made in his life and will continue forever, because of the way that they express Jesus. And he gets to experience those things because of God's love and God's influence in their lives. He is encouraged in his life. And so it's awesome that I get to have a relationship with those people, mm-hmm, but also who are my people, and then who are, it's an encouragement to me. It's not a stay in, you know, do the right thing, but who's looking at me,
yeah,
and how am I representing, yeah, Christ well? And so it was very inspiring. It was so emotional. I was just in the front row, just bawling my face off and snotting everywhere, but it was really inspirational for me to acknowledge the people and tell the people who I love deeply and who have inspired me and impacted me. When we share our stories of this random comment that you made changed my life.
Yeah.
Right.
People need to know those things.
Absolutely.
Because they're stuck in their pit. When people blindside me with, man, Ange, that really impacted me, I'm like, I'm a hot mess. And my vulnerability impacted you so deeply. Wow. That, mm-hmm, that changes my perspective to think more positively. We have to tell the people we love that we love them. And that was just such a beautiful display. And I'm so thankful for Tyson for telling the people, which I'm sure he's told them many times,
sure, yeah,
but publicly.
Yeah. Because we don't get to hear that.
We don't get, yeah, to hear that. And I think when we publicly thank someone, it's from kind of from the conference yesterday, when we publicly acknowledge someone's impact, it inspires them, but it also inspires others.
Yeah, it magnifies the impact, yes, of what they did.
And absolutely, here's what's cool for me being newer. So I've known some of these people he's talked about for 2.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. But what he said is, I know to be
so true,
even in my, yep, short time of knowing them, yeah, when, you know, Tyson or you have known them maybe their whole lives, or you, Tyson's known them for 18 years here. And I saw that immediately, which tells you how powerful their faith is. And there's another aspect, we were talking about this, but the faith begets faith, and how, mm-hmm, when we share our faith, when we share our stories, how it can grow. And I think about it this way. One of the things that I thought about, and this happens earlier in Hebrews, where it talks about this great cloud of witnesses, and it's talking about these fathers and mothers of the faith in the scripture from way before us. But we all have those people in our own life. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to grow up in two faith households. And I just think about even my grandparents or great grandparents who were believers, knew the word, and prayed for us youth or us kids or grandkids growing up. And part of the reason why I'm here right now following my pursuit and calling, using my gifting and pursuing Jesus, is because of their faith. And then I got to hear, you know, when you hear their stories, you realize that God's faithfulness from generation to generation.
Exactly.
And that's really a lot of scripture is really about, you know, the Israelites. Part of the reason why God wanted them to speak out or remember these festivals or these things is so that they would remember over and over again faith, people's faith journey, their walk of faith, and then his faithfulness to meet them at that time. It's really cool.
Yeah, and their stories, like of the people Tyson talked about and the people in my life and the people in your life. And when we couple that with this burden for the word, the writer of Hebrews, like the words don't just become something nice that you can preach on a Sunday. It becomes a commission to say,
absolutely,
how can I be motivated by these people's stories to personify Jesus to everyone in my life?
Yeah. I'm curious if we could go this way for a second. You know, when Tyson was preaching, he prompted us, hey, can you think of a time where you really had to step out in faith? And I'm wondering if any of us would have, if you guys all have a story or something that comes to mind where you did this reliance moment where it was like, I'm doing this because it's what we're supposed to do. And I don't know, I have no guarantee or know what's going to happen, but I'm choosing to trust God and to walk in faith. Does anybody have a story they want to share?
How long do we have?
Just one. Just give us the
just
summary.
Just a second. Come on.
I can remember, I can go back a little ways in my past and I have a result from that, but I can remember when I just stepped out in my call essentially and how I even became a pastor, because in my mind it's still impossible that I'm here. But I was volunteering at a church in Douglas and was not being paid. I was just a dude that showed up on Wednesdays and Sundays and it was awesome. And it moved into this point where I'd been talking with my pastor Frank, and he wanted me to become the licensed youth pastor of his church. And at that time I was busy in the oil field and I had no time to really commit to something what I thought of that magnitude. And I was fighting with my boss at the time and trying to make sure that they guaranteed that I had the time off and that I was going to be there for church. Like, it's only 2 days a week and I should be able to get guaranteed this. And I continued to hit these walls. I was always being called out. And I can remember saying, God, I'm trying to honor this. I'm trying to make sure that I am there and present and doing my best. And I can clearly remember him saying, it's not their time to give you, it's mine. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to quit. And I said, well, God, I live in America. You don't quit a job without another job lined up. You don't do that. I don't have insurance. I don't have this. I don't have that. And he said, it's time for you to quit. And so I talked to my wife. And I said, I hear this is what God's saying. We have a little bit in savings. We have just, you know, a little bit, not a lot. And she immediately said, if that's what he's saying, then you need to quit. And so I stepped out and said, well, here's my 2 weeks notice. And that whole year that I was off of work, I was volunteering with the church and pouring into the community and able to do things that I never could have done with a job. God met every need we had. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to give up anything. We lived the same, not that we're extravagant, but we lived the same as we always had, never lacking food, never lacking clothes, still doing camping trips, still doing everything that we wanted to do. And I was able to really, really pour into the town of Douglas. And there was a whole year period where I was able to do this. And then I can remember God saying, okay, now it's time to just go find a job and we'll move on from here.
Yeah.
I had no idea. You don't quit and get rid of insurance and get rid of a job and get rid of, you don't do that. And yeah. He said, this is what I want you to do. And I can remember being terrified, but also extremely excited to step into that with him.
Well, and it's crazy. So look at where you're at now. And what I love about that is inspires me, because I think of God's faithfulness and how much of that season was a setup and a training and a preparation for where you're at now.
Yeah.
And that's significant. And so as you share your testimony, as you share your story in steps of faith and God's faithfulness, it makes me more readily wanting to take new steps of faith and yeah. say, like, okay, what is God saying? And how can I step out? Because I know he has plans, good purposes, hope, future, and fulfillment, and his, you know, everything that he's doing. And I want to be a part of it. Yeah. You know? So go ahead. Either one of you two.
For me, the most ready examples always come in the form of money, come in the form of finances. And for me, it's even though I do love giving to the church, it's a sacrifice that hurts when I do, mm-hmm. because as all of you know, there's just not a ton of money in ministry. we're not in it for the money. And when I look at my bank account, I look at my budget and things look tight, and I'm like, I can't afford to give. And then I'm always reminded, you can't afford not to give. Mm-hmm. And every single time that I've been tested in a big way in that God has provided, whether someone has shown up with a meal at my door or someone had slipped me $200 just because, and I had no tires on my car, and I was able to do that. And there's been time and time again where I've been reminded of the scripture, test me in this and see how I will not
come through
for you. And I've been so blessed that I do truly believe, like, I can't afford not to give, and I just have to walk in faith and know that God is going to provide, because he has over and over again.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Angie, you have anything to add?
I have a random story. Last year sometime, I was doing really, really good here. I felt really confident in being here. I feel like our staff was really in a good place, and I don't think the word was questioning. I don't know what I was feeling. I was just feeling really uneasy. There we go. And Travis, my husband, said, Angie, there's this job opportunity, and I think that you should apply. And I laughed at him. And then I said, things are really good here. And he said, I understand that, but I really think that you are, like, made for this position. All of your environmental ed stuff could be utilized, your community resourcing, yeah, all these things. And I didn't want to, because things were so good here. And he helped me rebuild my resume that I haven't touched in a really long time. And that was fun and interesting. So I applied for this job. I never received a phone call back. I never received any notification that they got my resume or my application or anything. And it was that weird step of faith of trusting in my husband to God said, Angie, you are supposed to be here. Yeah. You need to be prepared to go out into your community, but you are supposed to be here. And it was just this weird, like, turbulent, peaceful. It was so many emotions. And being here is important in this time. Mm-hmm. But I think also that helped me understand my tie and my past of in the community has a piece. And I just needed to be faithful in doing the thing that made no sense, to hear crickets. And then to hear crickets from this external source gave me such deep peace and such deep presence here and understanding why I'm here.
Yeah.
And now I'm even more confused, but that's okay. there's a piece in that. Aren't we all confused?
But it sounds like there's an element of confirmation.
Oh, absolute confirmation.
That you wouldn't have had unless you stepped out and
the door was slammed shut so hard that it was like, no, this is the road. Like, this is the path you're supposed
to
take right now.
You needed to explore it for
I had to explore it to... The no had to be there for me to say yes to greater things, because I was too caught up in fear. And I mean, I was on my face bawling at the altar many times of like, what am I supposed to do? Why am I trying to apply for this job, or why am I even here at the Rock Church? And it's just those small obediences that reveal such great faith building and encouragement.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll share one that I thought of on Sunday when Tyson prompted that is before I moved my family to Washington for ministry there. And at the time, I had a really great job. I was in the working world. I was bivocational ministry. So I'm leading worship and doing all that stuff on the weekends. And I have a very well-paying job. It had its issues, but what it came down to was I knew that it was time to go back into full-time ministry without a doubt, but it had took a long time for that all to be worked out. I had this like heart sickness, and I'm seeking and praying and all this sort of stuff. Well, comes down time to it, and an opportunity comes for ministry. That is the opportunity, but it's a out-of-state move to a people we don't know, to a land we don't know. We've never really been there. We've been there, but you know what I'm saying? We don't have community. We don't know businesses. And so I remember I'm flying back from a work trip while working in Colorado, and I'm looking out to the west over the Rocky Mountains, this beautiful sunset. And I've been praying and praying about this opportunity. And that still small voice says, do you trust me? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this sunset, and I couldn't help. I mean, I just started tearing up, because it was like, not only was the Lord speaking to me, but I'm looking at this beauty of creation and I'm talking to the one who created it, and I'm like, of course I trust you. And it was that overwhelming response, but at the same point in time, that doesn't mean it's easy. But I'm like, but what am I trusting you in exactly? And how is this all going to go? But the reality is, we moved across country. And what was interesting, just to talk about this faith piece, is we got there and there was like people that we know through other people. And then there was this community that was already set up, that the Lord had all these things set up. Another part was finances. I took a massive pay cut to go back into full-time ministry. And I'm like, how are we going to make it? And what was cool is we shouldn't have made it. Right? But we did. And there was actually times during our time in ministry then where not only should we have not made it, but we felt deeply called to tithe like we normally would, but then to give above and beyond that. And there was, I think of 1 year specifically, you know, we had started doing the Dave Ramsey cash envelopes and all this sort of stuff, budgeting super hard because we didn't have enough. We did not make enough to make it. It shouldn't have happened. But we were like, we're going to have this giving and missions envelope. So not only have we have tithe, but we're going to do this giving envelope and this missions envelope. And we were like, even if it's like a buck or it five matters. Bucks, that it buck matters. Matters. We're going to put it in there.
Totally.
And can I just tell you that we take this step of faith. We're out there, we're doing ministry. And then we have these cash envelopes, all the stuff happening. I don't know how it happened, but it was as if the money in those envelopes was like making babies or something, because there was like more cash would end up in there and we would be like, oh, we really feel like we need to give this person or this missionary or whatever. And we go in there to grab money to give. And I'm like, where did all this money come from? Like, this is amazing. And what's cool about that specific year when we did that is not only did we have what we needed, but it was like we had more than enough. So it was like we step out in faith. We had these extra envelopes for giving. We had more money than we needed because all these weird things would happen where, like, I think of one thing that happened is we needed new tires. You said tires. Yeah. And it was so funny. We go to the tire place and we're going to get new tires and I have a certain amount of money to spend. And so I'm about to pick a tire that fits there, which is the cheapest possible one. And the manager goes, hey, we put these tires on a car. It was the wrong ones for that car. We took them off and we cannot sell them as new. Do you want these? They're for your car. And it was exactly for the amount that I had to spend. So I got the tires, the better tires, the exact ones for our car. But the tire place charged me only the amount of money that I had to spend. And it was like stories like that would happen over and over and over again. It was crazy because it was like this huge leap of faith to move. And then this leap of faith to like trust God to provide in that circumstance. And he not only provided, but it was more above and beyond. And so that's just one of many stories. I know you guys have more too, but this is the point of this last sermon. It was called The Christian Faith, and it was all about really where Tyson took it was relational faith, how faith is so relational and how we need each other to stir each other's faith, how we see faith through others, how we share our faith, and how that encourages our own soul and our own ability to walk by faith and not by sight. And that was so powerful to me. I loved hearing those stories of individuals. I think that was so honoring and encouraging to me because now I get to know those people and I'm like, that is them. It's so impactful. Right. What else stood out to you on Sunday? Give me some other ideas of like, what can we dig into a little bit more today?
See, I've always liked verses 7 through 9 of Hebrews chapter 13, especially being in ministry leadership. One, it gets you to reflect on the leaders you've had in the past, but it's also like a measuring stick of where am I at right now? So things like those who spoke to you the word of God, the outcome of their way of life. It says, imitate their faith.
Yeah.
It goes back to Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It instills trust. Not being led away by diverse and strange teachings. So being able to like discern who is someone to emulate, who is someone that I can learn from, not necessarily for the better, but like, this is who I knew, know not to be. Having your heart strengthened by grace and not by foods, the things that truly benefit our soul.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a good measuring stick of where am I at? What are my rhythms? Who am I learning from? And who can I teach?
Yeah, that's so good. I love in that section too, which is really four squares key verse, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It just, that is just a verse that I could speak often, and every time it soothes my soul and encourages my heart.
Well, and I love, so that whole passage really just gives you, it almost brings easiness, I don't want to say easiness, an ease to the following Jesus Christ, because here's what he's done. We talked about, Pastor Tyson and we here today have talked about what he's done in our lives, and it gives you the confidence to know that, well, he's been the same all the way thousands of years ago in what we read here. He's the same now in my life because of my encouraging you through my story. He's going to be the same tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And that's so important. We don't have to remake the wheel. We don't have to try and come up with something new and exciting, because it's already as exciting as it can be. He's going to show up. He's going to get me through this. I can't tell you how. I don't know why, but he's going to, and I can trust that, because here's all the stories.
Yeah.
Here's all the things, and it's not just the Bible. It's not just these old stories. He continues to do that in yours and my own life, and he'll do that in yours, the listener, the one that is on the street, the one that is coming to church for the first time. It doesn't matter. He's going to keep doing it, and so I think that really just brings an ease to faith when you have a struggle going, well, will he do it? Will he do it? Remember, because I will do it and I'll do it again. I think that's something that we can hold on to.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love verse 5 too, like going back to the, we were talking about our faith journey and how money is in the midst of that. And then right in verse 5, it says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. I mean, that's so, those truths are, I mean, the word of God is living and active. That was part of what we talked about in this series. But those reminders just align my heart and keep me straight. And I love that.
I really enjoyed the satisfaction part. And my notes say the world promises satisfaction, but it can't deliver.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say about this, but it was so impactful, that peace. And I think my satisfied feeling is just that peace. And our faith, like the example that I gave, I was doing something, I was applying for this job, and it didn't make sense to me. But I had this peace, and I knew I was supposed to do it. It didn't make any sense, but I had peace.
Yeah.
And I was obedient. And when we're walking in faith, we're satisfied in the parts that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We're satisfied in the parts that don't make sense.
Yeah.
Because faith doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. Like, all common sense states, what are you doing? I mean, really,
yeah.
That is faith, is like, nope.
Yeah.
And there's a peace in your soul.
Absolutely.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
And we were talking about this on the drive back, but the reality is we don't need to know. We need to know God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't need to know the result.
We don't need to know the
details. Over and over again, the Bible says to trust, to obey, and, you know, to follow him, to do not fear, you know, all these things, which is faith. That is our faith. We walk by faith, not by, we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yep.
And that's the reality of it. Jacob, you look like you got something you want to add in there.
Oh, no, not really. just another thing that came to mind, especially as I was talking about the walking by faith, but also like being able to reflect on where we're at in our walk, because it goes on to talk about obeying your leaders and submitting to them. Because it's such an important role. We're accountable for people's souls.
Absolutely.
We've been entrusted with people in our church, in our community. And if we have nothing to say about why they ended up where they ended up, then we didn't do our job. Mm. But also to the people who are under leadership of like, please just trust us. And when we're giving you heck, and when you don't like what we have to say, just know that we're not talking out of our butts. We're talking out of a care for your soul.
Yeah.
And pray for us too, because this is a hard job to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. I love that about Paul. I'm not going to say Paul. We don't really know who wrote Hebrews. But especially in this, in Hebrews 13, we don't know who wrote it, but there are Paul-like aspects. What I loved about Paul is he would often ask for prayer when he wrote. And when, you know, and I can kind of bring it to modern day, but there's so many times where it's like you want your leader's prayer, but you never pray for them, because you see them as, right, this like pillar of faith, and like they're the ones that have it all together. And I love that the disciples, Paul and others in the New Testament, they asked for prayer from the people that they were leading, because they need prayer. It's not, they don't have it all together. They are called to lead. They're called to walk this life. Like Jacob, you were just alluding to, we will be held to a higher standard on the day of judgment. Yep. That is a fact. It's said in scripture. Pray for us that we can lead well. And I love that. The writer of Hebrews is asking for that. It is a powerful statement for them to say, please pray for us.
And that brings me to something that we learned again at the conference yesterday, is who are we inviting to pray for us? Who is interceding for us? Yeah. I mean, there's so many people that I'm interceding for, but who have I invited to the table?
Yeah.
And I can reflect, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in a really, really dark spot. And I reached out to three key people in my life. Yeah. I mean, I didn't reach out to other really, really key people, but God led me to ask three specific women to pray for me in very specific ways. And it was perfect.
And I love that, because you as a leader said, I need this. There's a humility aspect to it of going like, please help me. I need this
That's
right
exactly
now. This
what
is
it was.
Where
please
I'm at.
Help me.
It's like you sent up the red flag and you're like, all I got is a red flag. I don't have anything else to say or pray. I need you to battle with me and for
Hold
me.
Hold up my arms.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so key. I know all of us here as leaders can attest to the need for that. We need that. Go ahead.
I have one example. I don't remember who was speaking, but when we were talking about trusting and obeying and faith, I thought my first thought was walking Hezekiah's tunnel.
Mm.
So when we went to Israel, I was so stoked to walk Hezekiah's tunnel. I took off my shoes, I turned off my headlamp, and I was like, we're going to do this. So I led the pack, and I was barefoot in this water that was like the perfect temperature, and it was so dark. And I trusted that this path was going to lead me somewhere. And I had people behind me. And I walked this path, and I just, I kind of felt where things were going, and I bumped into the wall a few times, and that was comical and hurt a little bit. But at the end, I was able to then encourage other people.
Yeah.
And so I had to walk by faith. Like I chose to turn out the light, which was, that was my choice. I thought it would be fun, and it was awesome. But at the end, I made the decision to spur on others. And I think that's the important piece of our faith, is like when we're walking in darkness, there's still people behind us, as a parent, as a friend, as a coworker, as any role you are in. There are people behind you.
I love
and spurring that on. It's like super emotional.
Yeah. Well, so here's an aspect to that that's really cool, is if you didn't take off your shoes and you didn't turn out your light,
it would have been a totally different experience.
It would have been a different experience, and you wouldn't have had the same significance or reward at the end that you did get to experience. And I think that there's something to that. That's interesting, because you chose to do it that way. And I think a parallel was like when we choose to walk by faith and not by sight, there is a reward, a fulfillment, and a purpose that comes with that that makes life abundant, like what Jesus talks about. I came to bring life and abundant life. When we activate, walk in, follow our faith, like life becomes energized. I don't even think of the right word, but it becomes purposeful. It's unique. It's not what everybody else is doing. It's an organic, a powerful relationship with your creator that sends you on journeys. Like I look at my life, people wouldn't even believe half of the stuff I've done or what's happened. But I never thought I would live as many states as I've lived. Specifically for ministry, even I never would have thought I'd traveled to as many places as I've traveled to. I mean, there's just so many aspects where walking by faith has led me to a life, a full life, and I'm so thankful for that.
Yep. I'm always reminded, and this is kind of going back to the sharing of your faith and the things that God's done. But I had a friend and she shared a vision she had once of her crying out to God and asking for the vision of the future, of not the future, but why don't I know where you're having me go? Show me the next step. Let me see the next step. And she tells me, and it sticks with me because I hold on to this. It was like there was a lamp in front of her that only showed what the next step was. And then he said, look behind you and see where I've brought you. And so she could see all of the things that he had brought her through, all the craziness, all of the chaos, whatever it is. And he said, if I would have showed you all that before you took this step, would you have taken it?
Not a chance.
No way. Absolutely not. There's no way I'm going to take that. And he said, you just need to see what is the next step. And I'm like, okay.
That's a great.
And so I hold on to that when I'm struggling, and that's another encouragement. You know, this is how we encourage each other. If I saw where he was going to take me, God, you're going to take me back to Scotts Bluff? Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
Right. Oh, man.
And I love, in addition to that, Angie, I love that you brought up that you, when you turned the light off and you bumped into the walls a couple of times, and it may have hurt, but it was also kind of funny. If you had seen the bumps in the road, would you have gone? If you had known you were going to get hurt, would you have gone?
Oh,
those tight spaces.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, that one gets me. Right. Because sometimes they hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't change. There's aspects that I look back and I'm like, I wouldn't change it for a second. Like, especially I'm thinking about the ministry example that I used and how there were some of the most difficult times, the most difficult time in my life happened there, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's aspects of that, but I'm like, but what happened through that difficulty, what God did or what happened afterwards or those bumps, we'll call them, is actually what put me here today.
And if those things would have been illuminated, avoid. I mean, there's not a chance you would have walked through that.
I would have been like, nope, we're not moving across the country.
No way. Fill in the blank. Not happening.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it is important that blind faith, that turn off the light. Mike, when you were giving that example, I just thought about a desk lamp, how the wall behind it is black, but everything in front of it is a spotlight because of that kind of protection
focus
around it, that focus.
Focus, good word. Yeah, that's a good word.
So sometimes turn out the light.
Yeah. So what I want to do is just give people a heads up and invite them. So here's what's interesting is this coming week, we don't have a normal service or a sermon. And so we're going to be doing our celebration Sunday for the Lambertsons at the Weborg 21 Center in Gehring. And so if you're a local listener, come out for that. It's going to be one service at 10 a.m. What that also means is that following week, we won't have a podcast. So we're going to have a week off, but we're about to start a new series called The Truth. And actually, it's tied to Hebrews 13 because it's partially based off of our key four square verse, which is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you're unfamiliar with Foursquare, the Foursquare church name reflects the unchanging ministry of Jesus Christ and our mission to declare it worldwide. So the four squares that you see in our logo, they represent the four scriptural roles of Jesus as Savior, Baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Healer, and soon coming King. So coming up in October, we're going to be getting into those. And actually, I'm really excited to hear Angie as she kicks off on October 6th, that first Sunday, which she'll be taking that sermon titled Savior. And so I want to encourage everybody to listen up, because not only is that going to be a great Sunday, a powerful Sunday, but it's going to be a great podcast that following week. So thank you for joining us today. I actually want to do something a little bit different today in our prayer out, because the writer of Hebrews has this wonderful prayer and benediction here in Hebrews 13, verse 20. So we're speaking this as a prayer out for all of you listening today. It says this: "Now may the Lord of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen." God bless you all that are out there. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.